speak at are about this size. There's some that are 600,000-700,000 people, and others are 40,000 people. But I like the smaller groups because I believe it's more personal, and God seems like He moves in a stronger way or a different anointing on the place. And I feel the presence of God here tonight. And thank you, Walter and Virginia. Mas fuego, huh? More fire, huh? Hallelujah. Did you ever think 8 years ago you'd be here doing this? Never. From Spain, coming to America, and God working miracle after miracle, and they still need a big miracle, but God's already got it in His hands, taking care of it. We believe that with all of our heart. But if God can use me, He can use you, right? I tell people I'm just that Amish boy from Kelowna that about 22 years of age, the Holy Spirit came on me, changed me, filled me with His presence, and pretty well been ministering ever since. We were youth pastors for 10 years, pastors for about 20, and then while we were pastors, we started going to the nations of the world. We followed a couple, Mama and Papa Dorn, who were our mentors, and they took us all over the world and said, don't forget these people, don't forget those people, don't forget those people. And I don't know how many years ago they handed the mantle over to us and retired because Papa's 90. Mama just passed away this last fall. But God is so good because He's personal. He knows each of you tonight, what you need in your spirit and what you need in your heart. What He wants to do is to help you accomplish the goal and plan that He's put into your lives. Amen. I can speak for 20 minutes or 120 minutes, and I don't know which one you would rather have me do, but help me out tonight. Give me some amens and hallelujahs and glory to God, and we'll cut it shorter, you know. Hallelujah. I was thinking of the story of Jesus baptized. When He was baptized, as He come up out of the water, the Holy Spirit says descended upon Him in the form of a dove. And the Lord said, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And immediately He went from the Jordan to the wilderness and was tempted of the devil for how many days? 40 days, 40 nights. He came out of that temptation still full of the Holy Spirit, still victorious. The problems didn't get Him down. The fasting didn't destroy Him. It only made Him stronger. And He goes into the temple. He picks up the scripture and He begins to read. The Lord has anointed Me to what? To preach the gospel to the poor. To set at liberty those who are bound. To bring deliverance to those. To heal those who are blind. And set the captives free. And then He says, and this is the acceptable year of the Lord. And that came to pass after He was crucified and rose again. We are now living in that acceptable year of the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Ever since the cross or the resurrection, we, the church, have been living in that acceptable year of the Lord. And that leads me to the message title, Grace to Connect. See, the new year and the acceptable year of the Lord was a year of grace for many people. We know with the Jewish people that it was 50 years, and at the year of Jubilee, that acceptable year of the Lord, everybody went back to their land, was brought back to them, their children were returned to them. There was total freedom, restoration. And you have to study it to really, for you to know exactly what happened in that time, but every 50 years, things were put back into order. But since the resurrection, there's been an open door for us to put everything into order every day. The grace of God was released to us, the church, to the people. And so we look at a few scriptures. Ephesians chapter 2,
And we're just going to read verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Let it come alive in our spirits tonight. Touch each of our hearts. Open us up, Lord, to receive what you want, Lord. See, grace is a connection word. If we're going to connect with each other, then we have to be able to walk in the grace of God. We have to be able to lay aside some of our opinions and even some of our wants and desires so that we can get along with each other and so that we can join together in unity. The early church, they found the secret to that, and it was the power of the Holy Spirit. They walked in the power of the Holy Spirit. But we know what grace is. It's God's unmerited favor. It's favor that God has showered upon us. And you say, oh, I've heard so many messages on grace, I'm just going to go to sleep. But please don't. Because grace is needed for us to come into the presence of God. We cannot enter into His presence without grace. But it's more than enough. Even more than our mess, the things that we've messed up, His grace leads us to salvation. And we go back to verse 4 in Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love for us, which He loved us. See, we have mercy and love there, two big words. He said, verse 5, even when we were dead, full of sin, has made us alive together with Christ. Some of us have trouble understanding how God could love us that much. Part of the reason is because maybe of our religious background, where there's no mercy, it's only law. I was raised that way. You got your hair is too long, you need to get it cut, and your suit, you're wearing the wrong kind of coat, and the pants don't match our ordinances. And there were all of these things that were law, and we were afraid, almost afraid to move because somebody is going to call us out. And if we weren't doing the right thing, they wouldn't allow us to have communion. And we were corrected and told that we had to change, because in the next 6 months when we were going to have communion, if we didn't change, we still wouldn't be able to have communion with the body. That was part of the law. So for us to understand the love of God, because we were raised in religion, some of us, it's hard for us to understand that God's grace is sufficient for everything that you need. It's more than enough. And He releases His favor to us. Whew. It was hard for me to catch that. It was hard for me to understand that until I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because when I met Shirley, I was running from God. I was running from my religious strongholds. I was, might say, bouncing off the wall on the other side, if you will. And because I was raised so strictly and never heard anything about the Holy Spirit, I said, well, I was born again at 14, and I don't need the Holy Spirit. But I didn't know anything about it, you see. Because they never, and I'm not bashing the Amish Mennonite way, okay? They're lovely people. My father was a pastor. I was in church. I was taught the Bible. And I am so thankful for parents who loved me and cared about me and took care of me. But there is a deception there, and there's bondage there that would, if that could be removed, we would have a people that would change the world. The law said eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But grace says love your neighbor as yourself, right? If they do something wrong to you, turn the other cheek. And that's hard for us. It's against our nature. But see, grace messes up the law. Jesus fulfilled the law or made it of no effect by His death and resurrection. He completed it and replaced it with grace and mercy. So we have the first point is God's grace. The second point is grace messes up the law, if you're taking notes. But we have example after example in the Bible. I'm thinking of Luke 15 and the prodigal son, starting with verse 10 and reading through that. When the prodigal son came home, he realized that there was something in his father's house. Even though he had done wrong, even though he had squandered away his inheritance, even though he was living a horrible life, he realized that in his father's house, if he just went to be a servant, he'd be better off than he was the way that he was living. But when he came over the hill, his father was standing there waiting and watching. Ran to him and embraced him and kissed him. Said, kill the fatted calf. Let's have a party. My son who was dead is alive. Hallelujah. That's grace. That's God's grace for us today. He walks with us through those terrible times and waiting for us to come to our senses and realizing how much he loves us and how much he cares for us. He's waiting for us to return home. His grace breaks the barriers. Hallelujah. There's another example, a story of the woman who was caught in adultery and all of the people around her had stones, you know, and they were going to kill her because the law said she should die. And Jesus began to write in the ground and on the dirt. And we don't know what he wrote exactly, but one by one, all of the accusers dropped their stones. And then he shows grace. He said, go and sin no more. See, there's grace in purity. There's grace in living the kind of life that God wants us to live. I just wonder, had I been there, would I have had a stone in my hand? And are we picking up stones tonight when we look at somebody or we think of somebody who mistreated us? Are we holding stones in our hands? I tell the story how Paul was persecuting, Saul was persecuting the church, you know, dragging the Christian. All of us here would be in danger if Saul was in charge of anyone that believed in Jesus Christ, right? We'd be in danger of our lives and being whipped and beaten, sent to prison. And he was an enemy of that first church. He was somebody that they were praying against. You hearing me? But what happened when the grace of God touched his life? The same thing that happened when God's grace touched our life. He changed. Hallelujah. There was a transformation. And the enemy of the church became the best friend of the church ever had. He was the greatest builder. He was the greatest missionary. He went all the places that people didn't want to go. Grace breaks the stronghold of the enemy. Jesus said, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. That's grace. That's against my sinful nature. I don't want to bless somebody that's cursing me, right? Jesus said, I give you a new covenant. If you read Matthew 26:26, and we don't need to put it up there, but Jesus took the blood, the bread, and he broke it, and he said, this is the new covenant. This is my body. And then he took the wine, and he said, this is my blood. This is the new covenant that I'm making with you. There's a new covenant that we're walking in tonight. We don't take an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, even though this old sinful flesh said, you deserve it. You deserve it. You know, that old sinful flesh rises up. Look what he did. Look what, you know what? You're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. You know, you could serve God if you took those earrings out of your ears and that cross off your neck and let your hair grow a little bit. That's what religion says. Okay. God's grace says you're just perfect the way you are. Hallelujah. Sorry, I'm meddling a little bit there. But there's freedom in the grace. What did we sing tonight? Hallelujah. No more bondage. I am free. I want to throw something at you. Are you free tonight? Or are you bound by chains and by things that people have said and people have wished over you because you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You believe that speaking in tongues is a heavenly language, that you believe that God can work miracles and that God can do things that, are impossible. And they say, we're not politically correct. We won't go there, right? But we're no longer bound up in our sins because of grace that the Lord Jesus released for us. So there's freedom. Point number three is freedom in grace. Jesus tells us as we walk with Him that something will happen in our lives. Our heart will change, our attitude changes, our speech changes, the way we do things change. There's a life that comes forth. Galatians, it talks about, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, we don't turn back to the old life. There's a lot of misconception about grace being taught these days. We call it greasy grace or loose grace or whatever, where you can just love, love, love and do anything you want and it's okay because Jesus paid the price at Calvary and everybody's going to heaven. Hallelujah. False. Romans 6:1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in that? In other words, grace is not a reason to sin or a license to sin. Grace just brings us in connection with the Holy Spirit, with the presence of God. We say we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Do we have any fruits? Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Just to start out, just those four, sometimes we fail. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When's the last time you lost control? So when we read about these fruits of the Spirit, we have a place where we can go and measure our life. We can measure our lives against the Word of God. When we see that we're walking in the works of the flesh, which are adultery, fornication, impurity, sexual immorality, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbreaks of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. We can measure ourselves against the Word of God, our lives against the Word of God. God has set a standard for us. Even though He showers us with grace and He accepts us just like we are, are we free? Or are we walking bound up? Because freedom comes to us through grace. He doesn't hold our sins over us. He doesn't remind us of the bad things that we've done. Aren't you glad? Woo! God's grace puts us in His hands. The law puts us in the hands of man. Whose hands would you rather be in? You know, my wife and I have issues with our children, and there was supposed to be a court date this week, and it was postponed and put back maybe another 6 weeks. We don't even know. And we were very disappointed because we wanted to get it over with. We want to start rebuilding our family. We want some healing. We want to go on with our lives. And I was kind of, human as I am, complaining to the Lord. And He spoke very clearly to me. He said, you've put it in my hands. Do you want it back? Or do you trust me? Ooh, sorry, Lord, I repent. He knows better than we do, right? And we've been praying, Lord, take it out of the courtroom and put it into the throne room, because that's where justice is done. So why do we want to take it out of the throne room and put it back in the courtroom? We don't want to do that. Lord, you are faithful. We trust you, Lord. Hallelujah. Grace is God's personality. Serious? Grace is God's personality. It's God in action. Hallelujah. Through restoration, through relationship, through healing. And that's just to touch a few of the things. But to bring in restoration, to bring back all of the people to Him, to fulfill His covenants and His promises that He made with you and with you and with you and with me. Grace is His personality. It's to bring us back into a relationship with the Lord. To restore us. Restoration. What does that mean? Bringing something back to the way that it was before there was division, before there was a problem, before there was sin. God restores us. He returns relation. Lots of broken relations. Lots of healing that's needed. God wants us to be whole. Amen? That's why He sent His Son Jesus. For God so what loved the world that He gave us His only begotten Son. That if you believe on Him, you should have what? Everlasting life. Lord's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. People are hurting. People have been wounded. Pastor was talking about that this morning, about the wounds and the things we do to try to offset the wounds that we have, the things that have hurt us and the things that people have done to us. But God's grace changes all of that, and it's called agape, that love.
not because you're here every Sunday and you give faithfully. Something that's special that no man can make. I can't make that up. You know? The Lord's saying, I have a plan for your life. He wants you to just be able to hear it and speak to you. Embrace Him. Just like you are. Amen. Hallelujah. We love you. God loves you. The church loves you. We're going to bless your lives. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, think that this man gets talked to you a lot. You do. Yeah. But this man is a man of God. And I see some stairs. And these stairs are obstructed with many different things that people have put on it. But I see the hand of the Lord going before you. He has your hand, and you're beginning to climb these stairs. I can't see the top of the stairs, okay? It's not leading to heaven, okay? You're not ready to go yet. But every time the Lord puts His foot on that one step that has obstacles, they just all disappear. And every step, all of those things disappear. I don't know that I can give you an interpretation of that. But wherever God guides, You'll take care of the things. You'll take care of the problems. You'll take care of anything that you believe is lost or that you've messed up. I know you're a saint, okay? But the Lord says, I'm going to take you places that you've never been before. See, I can't see this top. Hallelujah. But if I give it to you, it's for you as a couple. It's for your family. It's for your children. There's something good that's taking place right now. God is restoring. Ooh, hallelujah. I just heard that. And when I said that, it was like a knife went through my heart. You guys have been pierced. But the Lord's pulling that knife out. Pulling that knife out. Guess what happens when He pulls a knife out? He puts His hand over. And it heals up immediately. Boom. It heals up. The Lord says, now, you're ready for the next thing. Ooh, hallelujah. I love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Bless them. There's a call, a strong call of God on you, brother. You thought it was on your wife, but it's on you, too. Strong call of God. This coming from the throne room, not from John Helmuth, okay? I don't know you, don't know anything about you, don't know your past, I don't know your history, but I do know this, that God has planned for your life, that you've been asking Him for, and that you've dreamed about. Well, okay, bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, hallelujah. Just shadow of darkness, just whew, like that. Over you, and it's like the enemy's trying to scare you. I don't know why that would even be a part of it, but as I walk by you, but the Lord says, keep the ground that you've been standing on. Stay strong on what you believe, and that thing will never affect you. But you know there's a battle out there. There's a battle for your soul. There's a battle for many things, your family. There's things that are going on, and the enemy would like to overshadow you, but the Lord says, no, stand your ground. And He will never affect you. Understand? Praise God for that. Hallelujah. I shared this with some of you. We're praying for the people in Pakistan, ministering in Pakistan. It's about 4 years ago. And one day we got this urgent call. They said the Taliban are going from city to city, and they're killing people, hanging them in trees if they don't recant Christianity. And they even sent us pictures, which we didn't want.
And we heard they're coming to our village next, and we are afraid. And my wife and I went up into our prayer room, into our office, and we began to pray and intercede. And about an hour later, the Lord spoke these words to me. Tell them I have them covered. And we reported that to them. Fear left them. To this day, the church can do anything they want, and they have not been bothered by the Taliban. They have not been persecuted as a church. Why? Because the Lord has them covered. Does the Lord have you covered tonight? Hallelujah. Does the Lord have you covered? Yes, He does, by His grace. We're not worthy to... Greatest fears come to the surface sometimes when we look with our eyes and hear with our ears. We have to get into the place where God speaks, in our prayer closet, where God can speak to us and all the confusion is gone. I'm thinking of that widow woman, you know, her husband died, 2 Kings chapter 4. Elisha comes. He's the second one. 1 Kings, it's Elijah. 2 Kings, it's Elisha, right? Bible scholars, come on. She said, my husband died. I have a lot of debt. And the creditors are coming. And they're going to take my sons away. And they're going to make slaves of my sons till the bill is paid. And Elisha says, what do you have? She said, I have nothing. But a jar of oil. Mm-hmm. What did he tell her? Oh, God's going to work a miracle. God's going to take care of you. Don't worry. Just go on about your business. No, he said, go gather all the empty jars that you can find and go shut yourself up in the room and begin to pour. See, we have to hear what God says. Get away from the noise, the naysayers, the doubters, and find ourselves a quiet place and watch God work miracles for us. Woo! I'm excited about that tonight. Hallelujah. Fences that are painted white, sign of purity that God is restoring in a circle around your home. That includes your children, family members. And I saw it painted bright white, sign of purity. God is working when we're sleeping. Never takes a night off. Remember that. Hallelujah. Pastor, will you come? Tonight, some of you might be here and say, I need the grace of God in a way that I've never received it. We're going to be here to pray for you, pray with you, and believe God for miracles. Before Pastor takes the mic, I want us all to stand. And I'm going to pray a prayer with you, and some of you will never come up here, but maybe you'll agree with me in prayer where you're at. Well, let's pray and ask God to release us into the full grace that He's made provision for us. Heavenly Father, we just give our lives to You. So many times we've made a mess. We've taken back what we've given You, and then we've taken it back again and again, and we just keep making a mess out of our lives, and we're disappointed, we're hurt, and we just want to give up. But Lord, tonight You've reassured us that Your grace is sufficient for every need and every problem that we have. That it's not our ability, but it's by Your hand and Your agape love that You shower these things upon us. So Father, right now we just repent in the name of Jesus. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us and heal us and make us strong. Make us one of Your children again. Make us victorious again. We give you all the honor and all the glory in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Praise God. Praise God. Amen. What a wonderful word. You can never have too many words on grace that are actually from the Bible. Right? That was a word from the Bible on grace, not from a man's perspective. Amen. Thank you. There's a few things in here that I just wanted to highlight, and I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to move and do what He wants to do. You said something that just struck me, and I'm like, ooh, come on. Many times we've asked God to do something in our life. Maybe that's you tonight. You've asked God to do something in your life. And then you start getting mad at God because He's not doing it in your time. He's not doing it in your way. And maybe He's not doing it in what you think that He should be doing. And God says, you put it in My hands. Do you want it back? That's powerful. That's exactly how God talks to me. It's like, what? Dude, the guy, what he can say in a sentence takes us a year to put into words. Incredible. What have you put in God's hands that you keep trying to take away from Him? Don't take what's in the throne room and put it into the courtroom. If you don't know what that reference meant, is it says that you have to go into the courts, God's courts, before you can go to the Holy Holies, which is the throne room. See, God lives in the Holy Holies. He lives in the throne room. And before you get there, you walk into a courtroom. It's like maybe walking in our parking lot as opposed to being at the altar. So don't take what's at the altar and bring it back out with you in the parking lot. His grace is sufficient. His grace is enough. His grace replaces all things. We allow Him to work. We allow Him to move. We allow Him to bless you tonight. Would you guys mind just coming over here real quick? They're going to be in this corner right over here to pray. We just come and they're going to be there. If you need prayer tonight about anything, about something, you want to confess something. I said it this morning. I'll say it again. See, God is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins. He forgives us of our sins. Praise God. He's the one. You can't forgive me of my sins. You can forgive me for what I did to you, but you can't forgive me for my sins. Only Jesus can do that. But what we can do together is see, God is faithful and righteous, and He's awesome that He forgives us of our sins. But when you confess your sins to one another, God heals us. So if you need healing tonight, you need to come to somebody, you need to confess something, they're going to pray for you. And when they're done praying for you, it says in God's word, you'll be healed. Now you might not feel something, and maybe you will. See, God works in His way if you allow Him to. I can guarantee you this. If you confess something that you've been holding on to, or you give something to God that you've been holding on to for a long time, and you give it to God and maybe you get prayer for it tonight, I guarantee you this. See, the devil's going to do two things are going to happen. The devil's immediately going to try to steal it, but if you don't let him, you'll have the greatest night's sleep you've had in a long, long time. Because of that guilt, that shame, and all that be lifted, and God will replace it with His joy, His peace, and His love. And He wants to do that for you tonight. So, we're going to sing one, two songs, whatever. When you feel the release, you know. When you feel that release, just end it there. But in the meantime, right? They're here to pray for you. I'm going to walk away in just a second. And then it's your opportunity to go up there. And if we need a bunch more people to get prayed for, you know, we can have more people to pray. We got prayer teams, right? Cindy, help me out. Right? Right, Cindy? Come on now. Look confident. Amen. Yeah, we got some prayer teams we could get up here and pray for you. Hey, we love you. We're thankful for what God has given us tonight. Thank you for the word. Amen. Amen. What does that mean? Amen means I agree. Amen. Amen. If you agreed with God's word tonight and spoke to you, say amen. Amen. Well, let's pray. We love you. We hope to see you on Wednesday night. We're splitting the guys and the girls on Wednesday night. We're all coming together. We're worshiping together. And then we're going to split the guys and the girls, and we're going to get into what God is talking to us about and where we're at. Amen. We love you.